Well, good morning, church. Y'all glad to be here on this rainy day? I tell you, the Lord knows how to send the water, doesn't he? He can sure do it. Well, if you have your Bibles, our scripture reading today is going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read just kind of a lengthy passage here, beginning in verse number 17 through the end of the chapter. It's a text about the Lord's Supper, since we are going to have the privilege of participating in the Lord's Supper at the close of our service today. I thought it would be fitting for us to not just have a text today on the Lord's Supper, but just to use the sermon time to give some attention to this a great ordinance that our Lord told us to be about, and hopefully in preparing our hearts and our minds so that we can partake of it together here in just a few minutes. I like to see kids flipping through their Bibles trying to find it. That's good. That's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now this is weird. Raleigh's got it on his phone, and the kids are looking through the book. I mean, that's just... But whether it's on your phone or you have it on paper and ink, if you're willing and able, please stand for the public reading of God's Word as we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, I'm reading out of the New International Version, and you can just listen as I read or follow along in the text if you have it. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers, and as a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I receive from the Lord that what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ will eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. May the Lord bless the reading of his scripture, and let's have an occasion for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word that sanctifies us through and through. It tells us of who you are and of who we are and what you require of us. Lord, we would ask for your smiles today in the presence of your Spirit as we think upon these holy things, and might the meal at the end of this service be a time of ministering to each other and worship of you, our only true God. and Savior. In the name of your Son, I ask. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, what did y'all have for breakfast this morning? Anybody have some grape juice? No grape juice takers for breakfast. What about a Bloody Mary? Anybody have a Bloody Mary? I don't know, it's a Baptist church, but did anybody have one? Probably not. Well, do you know where Bloody Mary got her name? And the name that the drink is named after? It's named after Mary, the Queen of England. And she was called Bloody because of the hundreds of people that she slaughtered and killed of believers. She killed them, most of them, by burning them at the stake. Hundreds of men. She killed 55 women. Even four little children. Like these four little children right there. She burned them at the stake. Now, why is it that the Queen of England, the monarch, the ruler, why would she do such a thing? And why would those hundreds of people willingly go to the stake and be killed? Why were they burned? Well, they were burned because of this right here. They were burned over the issue of the Lord's Supper. I remember several years ago when I was reading about this in history, and it shocked me. I mean, I'd heard of Bloody Mary and of the persecutions and how believers were killed, but I really didn't know why. But when Mary came to the throne, and she was a staunch Catholic, and she said, okay, if you do not hold to the Catholic Mass, if you hold to the Lord's Supper, that it is a memorial meal, and you deny that it is the literal body and blood of the Lord after the priest pronounces his blessing, then you will die. I mention that historical event because one thing you can say about people in past history is they took the supper seriously. Mary took it very seriously. She took it seriously enough to kill for it. And our fellow believers took it seriously enough to die for it. Now, I am so thankful of the religious liberty that we have in our land. And our land comes out of stuff like this because they were killing people over beliefs. And I'm thankful for our religious liberties. But sometimes I do think that we take liberty with things that are very, very serious. And my desire today, before we take of this meal in a few moments, is for us to think about this supper so that we can take it seriously. I mean, the Lord's Supper is a solemn celebration that we get to do today. It is a blessed meal. It is a spiritual discipline that we as Christians need to be seriously engaged in. And whenever we meet together to partake of this supper, this is a high point for Christians, that we can come together and to do this in remembrance of Him. And so today, again, before we partake, I just want us to think a little bit about this supper. First of all, the history and what leads us to this moment. The Lord's Supper comes out of the Jewish Passover in the Old Testament. You remember that the children of Israel, God's people, were enslaved in Egypt for about 430 years. And after that suitable time, God sent Moses with a message to the Pharaoh to let his people go. He said that Israel, the Jewish people, was his firstborn. And he tells Pharaoh, you let my firstborn go, or I'm going to kill your firstborn right off the bat. In fact, and he told Moses, he said, Pharaoh's not going to do it. I'm going to harden his heart and display my wonders. And so I'm sure you know the story. And there was these plagues that the Lord sent throughout the land of Egypt. Well, the very last plague was a terrible plague, to be sure. God said he would kill the firstborn of every household, from the household of Pharaoh to the household of the slave, even to the firstborn of all the animals. But before that night came, he gave his people a special command, a special provision. He said, you take a lamb and you slaughter that lamb in the place of your firstborn. And you take that lamb's blood and you take some hyssop, this little branch, and you saturate it in that blood and you just plane it all over the doorpost of your house. And on that dreadful night, when I come through the land and take someone from every home, and I kill someone in every home, when I see that blood on this house, I will pass over. Because a death has already occurred there. A judgment has already happened. So I will pass over those that have the blood. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And so the Jewish people, yearly, they had this annual meal, the Passover meal, to commemorate their salvation from Egypt. That when God killed someone in every home, he spared our home because the Lamb took our place. Well, as the Jews celebrated this year after year and millennia after millennia, it came to our Lord. And the last day, as he was in Jerusalem, he told his disciples, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover meal with you. The night before his crucifixion, he gathers his guys together. And he says, I really want to eat this meal, this Passover meal, to commemorate the salvation of God's people by the substitute of a death of a lamb. And then in the middle of this meal, he changes it. From the Passover to what we call the Last Supper. And he applies that meal to himself. Before he goes to the cross, he tells his guys, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. And this cup is my blood. It is the blood of the covenant, which is spilled for you. You see, our Lord said that he was the Passover lamb. He was the fulfillment of all of those yearly and annual sacrifices, that goat after goat and sheep after sheep that was slaughtered was a picture of he who was the Lamb of God who was to take away the sin of the world. And that he would sacrifice himself instead of us. That he was the substitute. That as the scripture says, he was crushed for our iniquities. That he spilled his blood in the wine press of God's wrath. As he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. I do not want to drink this bitter cup of being crushed by your just wrath. But he did. See, he drank the cup of wrath. So he could give his guys and us a cup of blessing. And so on that night, he changed it to what we call the Lord's Supper. A reoccurring sacred meal that we observe as the people of God to remember our Lord and to remember his sacrifice for us. That it was God's just wrath that was due to me because I deserve to be crushed by God because the wages of sin is death. It is my blood that needs to be spilled. God's wrath justly deserves to fall upon me. I needed to be on that cross. I was Barabbas. But Christ took my place. And we remember that in this meal. The supper reminds us that sin has to be punished. If there are any here that doubt that God will wink at sin, look at this supper, because in this supper it is declared that God spared not his own son. Surely if he was going to let sin slide, it would slide with his son, because it wasn't even his sin, it was mine. But no, when my sin was placed upon the substitute for sinners, God crushed him and punished him. And the full vent of whatever my eternal hell would be fell upon the substitute for sinners. And his body was broken. And he was crushed, spilling his lifeblood that we might live. That the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds we are healed. And this supper reminds us that if His blood is over our doorposts, if it covers our lives, then when the wrath of God and the eternal judgment that will surely come at the end, it will pass over us. Because in the believer's case, the judgment has already happened. The wrath has already fallen. It fell upon the substitute. And that is what we remember in this supper. Now, the different words we use, the biblical words, the terminology, we call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table. It's called a both. And that is because it is a meal. It is something that we get to eat. It is a representative meal of a bread and wine. It is bread because Jesus says that He is the bread of heaven. He is the manna that came down from heaven to give life for the world. His lifeblood that He spilt is His blood, Israel drink. The Scripture says God has given wine to gladden the hearts of men, and so He has given us this cup of blessing because Christ spilled out His blood in an act of great wrath because He drank the cup of wrath. And it is a meal that He invites us to. I mean, just think of it. The God of the universe who became man like us invites us to eat with Him, to enjoy a meal, a friendship meal, with the one that made us. I mean, it's a blessed thing. It is a supper. It is a table. It is also called the Eucharist. This word is a eulogy. You know what a eulogy is? You ever go to a funeral and someone gives a eulogy? It literally means a good word. You know, someone has died, and so someone gets up before the group and they give a eulogy. They give a good word about the person that has died. Well, we come here today at this supper and we come to give a eulogy, to give a good word about the one who died for us. We want to give a toast, a word of blessing to the one who sacrificed Himself for us. We come here to honor the one who died with the one who is no longer dead because He is alive forevermore. And so we come here as a eulogy. To say Christ is Lord and Christ is to be honored in this meal. It is also called communion. Now, sometimes in the Baptist churches we don't call it communion, but the Scripture calls it communion. It's where we share and we participate and we commune with each other. We commune with Christ Himself because it is representative of to us of His body and His blood, and in a spiritual way He is here with us. We get to eat with Him and we get to eat with all of us fellow believers. We commune. We fellowship with one another. This is a time for us to get close to Christ, who loved us, and close to each other, because we're supposed to love one another. In this meal, it's like a family meal. I mean, family meal times are close times. This is a time for us to be close to Christ and close to each other. It is also a covenant meal. Our Lord said that it is the blood of the covenant. Because in this meal, we are to remember that God cut a covenant. And in the Old Testament, it was that they cut a covenant. They would take an animal and they would split it in half. And the people that were making promises to each other, they would walk through the pieces of the dead animal, essentially saying, if I don't live up to my end of the bargain, do to me what we did to this animal. Essentially, upon pain of my life, I'm staking my life on keeping my word. And so when we take this meal, we are reminded that God made a promise to us. He made a promise that whosoever believeth in His Son shall not perish. And He made that promise in such a way that He cut His Son in half, as it were, and He walked between the pieces. And He says, you do to me what I did to my Son if I don't live up to my end of the bargain. I mean, think of that. That is why we have a great security in our salvation, because God promised it. He promised it upon the death of His Son. That it is guaranteed for us, because it is a covenant meal. It's like the rainbow that God gave Noah. He said, when I see the rainbow, I'm going to remember that I'm never going to flood the earth and kill everybody with water again. It's going to remind me of the promise I made to the earth. I'm not going to judge you in this way ever again. Well, this meal is a reminder to God the Father, He's not going to judge us. because he judged his son in our place. It's also a covenant meal for us that we are, as believers, we are to remember of the promise we made when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were to give a pledge of loyalty to Christ, and we took on his name. In fact, in the text it says that on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. Did you know that, well, maybe every time the Lord's Supper is taken, that someone takes it by a way of betrayal? Not remembering maybe a promise that they made to the Lord. I hope that when we take this meal in a few minutes, there won't be a Judas kiss when you bring the cup to your lips. That there won't be you won't betray the Son of Man with the kiss when you bring the bread and take it to your mouth. Because it was the night that he was betrayed, and those that take this meal are to remember, God made a promise to me, but I made a promise to God. And so I am to be reminded of this covenant. This meal is also to be taken frequently. He says, as often as you eat it. It is to be done often. I like it when, you know, I'm new here and found out that every other month we have the Lord's Supper here. I think that's great because it is something that we ought to enjoy and celebrate often. It's not prescribed to do that away. I mean, it ought to at least happen annually. It did that away in the Old Testament. But we ought to do it often. The early Christians did it quite often because they went house to house at the celebrating of this supper. But this is an intimate time. This is a time when we come together, let me mention this, for personal self-examination. The text that I read in verse number 28, it says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This is a time before you partake. Maybe you have some sins that you need to confess. It is a time for you to confess your sins to our Lord, to get right with God. Maybe to get right with your neighbor, because, you know, we're supposed to be close to one another. You know, if there's some faction or some disagreeing, something that's going on, you maybe need to get that thing settled before you take of this cup. Because it says, if you take unworthily, you can eat and drink judgment on yourself. This is a time to get right with God and to get right with each other. It's a time that we are going to be close to Him. I love the account when at the Last Supper, to where Jesus, he just instituted this, and his best friend John, it says, was leaning on his breast. They were just reclining at the supper, and John was so close to his friend, so close to his Lord. And you know, this is our time, to where I can be so close, I can touch him. You know, when you pick up that bread, it's like I can touch him. I can taste and see that the Lord is good. Our Lord is so kind to us that in this meal we get to involve our whole senses of sight and smell and taste and touch, and because we get to be close to Him in this representative way, in the anticipation of that one day when faith will become sight. You know, this meal is a promise that when our Lord instituted it, He said, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. And in this meal, we proclaim His death until He comes. We eat this in anticipation that one day I'm going to eat a meal like this with Him. And my eyes will get to see Him, and my hands will get to handle Him, and I will see Him as He is. And this meal is a promise of that. That I will get to be close with Him then, even closer than this meal, because I will be in His presence. And this meal is an intimate reminder of our faith. You know, our faith is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us. We partake of Christ by faith, and it's visibly represented as the bread comes by and I reach out and I take a hold of His body. That broken body, and I ingest it, and I bring it into me because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. That I take of that cup, that memorial representation of His blood, and I actually drink it because Christ in me is the hope of glory. And so just the bare bones of getting to partake of the meal reminds me of my act of faith. And if this meal is not taken in faith, it means nothing but maybe judgment. But by faith, this reminds me of how I partook of Christ. This meal reminds us that we are one in Christ. You know, we all partake of the same elements. All the portions are the same. The same little cup, the same piece of bread. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. And it reminds us that we are one loaf. That there's no differences. There is no Jew or Greek or male or female or slave or free or rich or poor. We are all one in Christ. And this meal reminds us of our unity. That we are one, and we need to make sure that we are one before we partake of this one meal. We are one body. And so if there's any issue of division, we need to get that taken care of, because this meal reminds us of our unity. And so let me just, before we partake, let me just remind us that I wanted to mention these things because I want us to take this seriously. Joyously, but seriously. In times past, people were willing to die for what this supper meant. They gave their life for it. And sometimes we're not willing to get out in the rain for it. I tell you, this is a great privilege for us to come together and to seriously consider what it means that Jesus told us, do this in remembrance of me. Of all the things that people do, this is the thing he said to do. You want to remember me? Then you come and you take this meal. You come and you fellowship with me. And you fellowship with other believers. You know that in this meal, he eagerly desires to eat this supper with you. Think of it. Think of it, Janice. He wants to eat this supper with you. And then that is what this is, this time of closeness and communion, where us believers can say thank you to the one who loved us so much that he was crushed so we could be blessed. Well, I'm just going to ask the deacons to come as we get ready to take of this meal. And again, let me just give a couple of words, a word of welcome and a word of warning before we partake. First of all, this is the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's table. It is His. It is not the table of Classen Boulevard Baptist Church. It is the Lord's Supper. And so if you are a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this supper is for you. You are welcome to participate. But let me also give a word of warning. This supper is not to be taken lightly. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, just let the elements pass you by. Do not partake of them. Because in doing so, you can eat and drink judgment on yourself if you have not partaken of the Lord by faith. And let the elements, as they pass you by, let it remind you that you have not yet partaken of Christ, who is life. So if you are not a believer, do not eat of these elements. But if you are a believer, and there is some issue that you need to take care of, maybe you also need to let the elements pass you by. Because again, we must make things right before we do this meal here. So just that word of warning, but also that word of welcome. This table is for sinners. For dirty, rotten sinners that deserve hell. And we take of this meal because Christ took our hell for us. And if you know yourself to be that sinner, and you have had faith in the substitute for sinners, then joyfully take of that bread. Because it was broken for you. Joyfully take of that cup because it was spilled for you. Now what we're going to do, the we are going to have the elements. One of the deacons is going to return thanks for the elements. Then we will pass them. I would just ask everybody to hold at first the bread until everybody has been served. And after a suitable time of reflection and meditation and worship, then I will lead us in a word to where we can all partake of the bread together. And then we will repeat it when we come to the cup. One of you men, you want to thank us for the bread?
Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the sacred ordinance in our church, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be able to do this in remembrance of you. And we just thank our pastor, Father, for the vivid explanation that he has given concerning this supper, Father, and the dire consequences of taking it when you are not ready. And Father, we just ask forgiveness. We just want to remember that this is the broken body of Christ, and it is a symbol for us, Lord, to do this and remember him until he comes back. And if there is one, Father, among you after the service, Father, after the supper that's not saved, may this be the day that he or she come forward. And we ask forgiveness for all of our sins and shortcomings. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
As the deacons pass the bread, and you observe it or you hold it, I ask for you to remember that our Lord bore in his own body our sins on the tree, that the eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us, and in his humanity is where he bore our sin, and his body was broken. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Savior, we thank you for giving yourself for us, for becoming like us, and for being broken for us broken people, so that we could be eternally redeemed. We thank you on this day. Amen. And after the bread, he took the cup. One of our deacons will return thanks for the when you men want to thank God.
We're so thankful, Father,
for the blood that you shed for us. And as we take this juice in remembrance of that, we take it in humility and thanks. done, what you've done for us. May it honor and glorify you. We ask these things in Christ's name.
As the cup is being passed, I would just ask for you to meditate on and to think about that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that he was crushed for us, that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. And after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "Take it and drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And the scripture says that after that meal, they sang a hymn. And the last verse of that hymn that I tried to sing says, "When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior." So let's sing that together. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing.